If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today you'll hear Seth chat with Seth MacFarlane, who continues the conversation backstage exclusively for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
Republicans spent yesterday gleefully celebrating their tax plan and lavishing praise on President Trump, with Trump even going so far as to claim that he also repealed Obamacare. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Trump convened his cabinet for their final meeting of the year yesterday, and as usual, he could not help but take a gratuitous swipe at the media. Trump called on Housing Secretary Ben Carson to say a prayer, but before doing so, said this about the reporters in the room.
So with that, I'm going to ask Ben Carson, you can stay if you want it, because you need the prayer more than I do, I think. You may be the only one. Maybe a good, solid prayer, and they'll be honest, Ben. Is that possible?
Ah, yes, prayer. What a cool thing to be a dick about. But is it possible for a prayer to make people more honest? Because this happened earlier this year, and it didn't really seem to take for you. Now, of course, yesterday, Republicans passed their tax cut bill, which, according to all reputable studies, would overwhelmingly benefit corporations and the wealthy. And yet, as usual, Trump has been focused primarily on the branding, claiming that it was his idea to call it a tax cut instead of tax reform.
I said to my guys, I called everybody in. We had a meeting, senators, Congress, everybody. I said, we have to use the word tax cuts. Now, if you want to throw reform, you could say tax cuts and reform. But you have to use the word cut. So for years, 30 years, 31 years, they've been using the word reform. So we use the word tax cuts.
I said very specifically, use the word tax cuts. You know, for 34 years, they've been trying to do this, and they haven't. And they use the word reform. Well, there is reform, but I said we're going to be talking about tax cuts.
Oh, my God, do you think you came up with the phrase tax cuts? Those are literally the two most popular words in the history of politics. That's like if you said at your inauguration, I, Donald J. Trump, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States. You know, I wrote this myself. That's right. Trump claims he invented the phrase tax cuts. That is so fake, the only thing that would be more fake is claiming you came up with the word fake.
The media is really the word, I think one of the greatest of all terms I've come up with is fake.
Right. You came up with fake. I can just see you at your writing desk with a wastebasket full of crumpled papers going, let's see, untrue? No, that's not it. False? That's too fancy. Oh, fake! Fake! I've got it! So Trump thinks he came up with the phrase tax cut, but of course his delusional self-congratulation didn't stop there. During a meeting with his cabinet, he claimed once again that his administration has accomplished more than any other administration in history.
Americans are filled with excitement for the future, optimism like they haven't seen. You've seen all the charts, and enthusiasm for the incredible possibilities that lie ahead for our country. We have done a job like no administration has done.
You passed one bill, and people are so enthusiastic about you that Alabama elected a Democratic senator. so enthusiastic about you, he's going to be a guest on this show tonight. So Trump loves to stroke his own ego, but yesterday he got some help from Vice President Mike Pence, who was also at the cabinet meeting. Trump called on Pence to say a few words, and for about 3 minutes, Pence lavished praise on Trump directly to his face.
Thank you for seeing through the course of this year an agenda that truly is restoring this country. You've restored American credibility on the world stage. You've unleashed American energy. You've spurred an optimism in this country that's setting records. I'm deeply humbled as your vice president to be able to be here. I want to thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank you for speaking on behalf of and fighting every day for the forgotten men and women of America.
Well, I guess we know what Trump's O-face looks like. Look at him. Even he's like, dude, I'm married. After that cabinet meeting, Pence showed up at Trump's door holding cue cards. Awesome. Why does Trump sit with his arms crossed like that? Did he eat some bad clams? Or is he just practicing for the day they finally put a straitjacket on him? And that wasn't even the last time that day that Trump surrounded himself with lackeys stroking his ego. Later, outside the White House, he celebrated the passage of the tax plan with House and Senate Republicans, who took turns stepping up to the microphone to praise their dear leader.
This has been a year of extraordinary accomplishment for the Trump administration.
Something this profound could not have been done without exquisite presidential leadership.
President Donald Trump is a man of his word. He's a man of action.
Thank you, President Trump, for allowing us to have you as our president.
You're living up to everything I thought you would. You're one heck of a leader.
Man, even Waylon Smithers is like, have some dignity. But it wasn't just the giant corporate tax cut that Trump celebrated yesterday. The GOP bill also repeals Obamacare's individual insurance mandate, which could cause as many as 13 million fewer people to have health insurance and reduce federal spending for poor and middle-class Americans' health insurance, with premiums going up. Now, the individual mandate is just one part of Obamacare, but that didn't stop Trump from gleefully claiming that he had finally killed the law completely, although his plan for replacing Obamacare was not all that clear.
The individual mandate is being repealed. When the individual mandate is being repealed, that means Obamacare is being repealed. We have essentially repealed Obamacare, and we'll come up with something that will be much better, whether it's block grants or whether it's taking what we have and doing something terrific.
Oh, something terrific? That's your plan? You're like a dad who stuffs his kid's stockings with a card that says, I owe you something terrific. Now, Trump hasn't repealed Obamacare. There's still the Medicaid expansion, the exchanges, the subsidies, the protections for pre-existing conditions. But I say we let him think he's repealed Obamacare so he stops trying. In fact, I think this could work with all of his promises. All we have to do is get someone to show him a photo of the Great Wall of China, tell him it's the Mexican border, and he'll say, I did it. And then we'll just hand him a slip of paper that says 1,000,000 pesos on it, and he'll say, we got Mexico to pay for it. And while we're at it, we'll bake him a cake that says, congrats on a great 8 years. Then he'll pack his and get out of our lives forever. Take a minute, closer look.
Ryan Reese, audience warm comedian for Late Night with Seth Meyers, here with Michael from the Upper West Side, who just came from a taping. Happy holidays.
Thank you. You too.
2017's been an interesting year. What are you grateful for?
Well, I'm grateful for my whole family, but in particular, very grateful for my new 6-week-old son.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How do you think future generations, specifically your new son, will view the year 2017?
Well, hopefully we'll have some good presidents in the years ahead, and they will be good models for what good presidents should be, and we'll be able to look at this as hopefully just an aberration.
How do you feel about the new GOP tax plan?
Not a fan. Would have been okay with genuine improvements to the tax system, but this certainly isn't it. Would have liked something bipartisan, would have liked something much more equitable.
Thanks for joining us, Michael. Have a happy holiday.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
guest tonight is an Academy Award nominee and Emmy-winning actor you know from his work on Family Guy, Ted, and The Orville. He's nominated for 2 Grammys for his most recent album, In Full Swing, which is available now. Please welcome back to the show our friend Seth MacFarlane, everyone. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful.
Future coats.
Yeah, future coats. Future coats. Pandas are future coats.
I think it worked.
Okay, good.
I think it worked.
I'm glad the one person who liked it was backstage.
I'm glad you stuck by it.
So I have to congratulate you. 300th episode of Family Guy is coming up.
Yes,
that's
correct.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Now that, what is harder, when you think back to yourself as a child, what is harder to conceive, that you do a cartoon that would last 300 episodes or that you would be nominated for a Grammy in the same category as Bob Dylan? Because that happened for you.
Yeah, I wasn't even sure I graduated high school, so I'm like, I'm yeah. This is great.
Are you still not sure if you graduated high school?
I'll get back to you.
Yeah. But this is, so your album, you sing standards, and you are, you're nominated against Bob Dylan, which is really
trippy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just slightly intimidating
and
could be a problem.
You try not to get into a trash talk situation with him.
No.
Because I feel,
No.
You would not want that. So this is standards. How do you select the standards that you're going to sing on each album?
You know, I try to find stuff that isn't too heavily overdone. I kind of dig through old Broadway cast albums or old songbooks and just try to find stuff that is just completely forgotten, so you can kind of make it new again.
And what are you singing for us tonight?
This is Almost Like Being in Love.
Okay, fantastic.
From Brigadoon, yeah.
So that's, you also, I had just assumed, and this is ignorant on my part, that people who can sing are so great at singing that they don't need to work on it. But you actually went and trained with the same group of people that trained Frank Sinatra.
They worked with Sinatra, they worked with Streisand, they've actually trained a lot of singers over the years, and they were both in their 90s when I started working with them.
Is it a family business?
It was a husband and wife.
Okay.
That did this for decades, and you know, they've both since passed away, but they taught you how to do it without help.
So you go into practicing with these two 90-year-olds, is there anything they told you that you remember, like, was helpful?
They claimed they were still having sex. I remember that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they said, look, if you're ever trying to find the emotional place for your songs, just remember that there are there are 90-year-olds who are still going at it.
Exactly. No excuse.
Is it true that you're supposed to show your teeth? Is that something?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, so now, I've not known that, so explain what's behind that.
That was what they always taught me, is that when you sing, show your teeth. Crazy as that sounds, because it brightens the sound, and basically, you know, all these tricks are things like, if you're singing live or if there's no post production help, you should be able to sound good, and that's kind of the way they work.
Do you think they just at 90 had such an appreciation for teeth that they were like, if I have any regret, I would have shown them more, I would have gotten them out there more before it was too late. So. I also want to congratulate you, season 2 of The Orville next year. So that's really exciting to get picked up. Congratulations
thank
on that
you,
as well.
Thank you.
And how? So obviously you are, you have The Orville, you did Cosmos with Neil deGrasse Tyson. You are a lover of space.
Yes.
I want to ask you this hypothetical, because it seems like we're getting closer and closer to people taking recreational trips to space. Would you want to do that?
I would not.
You don't?
At least I wouldn't want to be among the first group.
Gotcha.
I'd want to make sure everything still works, know, make sure everything's fine, there's everything's in order, and then maybe I'll go up.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'll be like in the fifth.
So, gotcha. Yeah, I guess that's true. I feel like the most expensive tickets to space will be like 5 and 6.
Yeah.
I feel like they'll have to discount the first 2 trips to space.
Yeah, you don't want to be the guinea pig.
Yeah. Because I guess the nice thing, because you, with your show, that's a very controlled space because you are just doing it on a soundstage.
Yeah, it's much better.
How has it been trying to create a serialized show that takes place in space? Have you found it a different challenge than Family Guy in the writing?
You know what? It's nice because there's shockingly little comedy.
Uh-huh. Well, I see. Whereas Family Guy, you could argue, is a more packed with jokes than anything
else. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of thing, like, I've been doing comedy my whole career, and this, you know, I'm a big sci-fi fan, and the thought of doing something that is that's so far removed from that was terrifying and thrilling at the same time. I've loved it. I've loved every second
of it. That's great. So I want to ask about Neil deGrasse Tyson. There is an asteroid that is named after you. He tweeted this. I guess it's asteroid 70713. Seth MacFarlane orbits the sun between Mars and Jupiter.
No chance
of hitting Earth.
That is my given name is 70713.
Yeah. And so how did that come about? How do you get an asteroid named after yourself?
You know, I think it was because of Cosmos.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I think he kind of pulled a couple of his strings and said, hey.
That's basically if you want to get an asteroid named after you, cozy up to Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Apparently so.
I mean, I knew he knew a lot of that stuff. I didn't think they called him up and were like, hey, man, we're looking for a name. But I guess.
The politics of asteroids is something that I can't help you.
And I've got to be honest, I don't think I'm ever going to learn. I'm just going to let that take its course.
It almost never comes up at parties.
So it came out this week, and I want to get your take on this as well, because you're now living in this world of sci-fi, that in 2007, the Pentagon basically put aside some I don't know if it's called dark money or black money, like where they basically have been checking out UFOs since 2007. Mm. This is money in the budget. Do you think that UFOs maybe exist?
Well, from what I have read and in talking to Neil, that what they were looking for was not necessarily nobody gives a shit about aliens there.
Yeah,
it's they're looking for things that might possibly be bits of intelligence from other countries. I guess I think the UFO enthusiasts sort of got a hold of that and said, oh, they're looking for UFOs. But
yeah,
but personally, I think it's highly likely there's alien life. I think it's highly unlikely that we've been visited.
Uh-huh.
I think if we spent more time listening for signals and less time, looking for evidence that they've come here, I think we're probably better served.
Interesting. So you're saying put the money into just surveillance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen to outer space.
Listen to outer space. Send out some bugs.
Or that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I feel like they got to give us this money and we can figure this out because I would love to get to the bottom of it. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to see you. Seth MacFarlane, everybody.
Hey, everybody. This is Kevin, one of the producers here at Late Night. We are backstage with Seth MacFarlane. Seth, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Yeah. We brought it up on the show, but Family Guy's about to celebrate the 300th episode. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, airing in January. So sort of looking back on that, there's so many voices that you've done. And are a lot of those based on people you grew up with or, sort of an amalgam of people you've met? Where do some of those characters come from?
On Family Guy?
Yeah.
They come from a lot of different places. Stewie comes from an impression of Rex Harrison that I used to do in college. Peter is based on a security guard that worked at the college that I went to in Rhode Island.
Yep.
So the voices they all come from somewhere. They're all, whether it's someone that I know or it's the Mel Blanc method of starting with a celebrity impression and then kind of spinning it off into its own thing.
Yeah. This is your fourth Swing album. When you went about selecting these songs, were they more upbeat as opposed to the other ones?
Yeah, the last one was I mean, they're thematic. The last one was ballads, and all with a singular theme. They're all kind of melancholy, kind of somber. And this is all up tempo swing tunes.
Yeah.
So you try to find a consistent through line.
Would you ever want to do anything on Broadway? Have you been approached to do shows?
I have. Yeah. There's been a couple of offers to do existing Broadway shows, but it's always come at a time when I've been just too busy with production on the animated shows and whatnot.
Yeah.
That is something that's on my bucket list. I'd certainly like to write a Broadway musical at some point.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't do anything too comedic. My desire would be to write something closer to, The Sound of Music than Avenue Q. But at some point I'll get around to it.
Yeah. Not something set in space, probably.
Probably not.
Probably
a little costly.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was reading that you're more heavily influenced by some of the old musicals as opposed to some of the newer things that are out there now. What are some of your favorites that have influenced you?
I mean, I think there are several for different reasons. I think My Fair Lady is probably, it could be argued is the greatest musical achievement in Broadway history.
Yeah,
because it's based on a George Bernard Shaw play that's not particularly conducive to what we traditionally classify as love songs. Mm-hmm. Carousel, I think, is one of the greatest scores ever written. Mm-hmm. That was Richard Rodgers' most favorite score of all the shows that he and Hammerstein wrote. That's on the list. There are a lot of great shows.
Yeah. Thanks so much for taking a couple more questions,
man.
Back here.
You betcha.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle @LateNightSeth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.